Chapter 1. The clouds have lost their way. I dive down into the dark part of the water. Like the eels had taught me, I twist-turned into the murky depths. Into the swish and sway of late reeds, the green stalks whisper soft against my skin, the air ballooning in my chest. I search for a rock with my feet. With my toes I clamped on tight, while I unhooked the net from my weight belt. I made slow, small movements, carefully not to ripple the cold water. A flash of silver in the shadows, and I had the lake bream in my sights, a single fish. With a flick of my wrist, I spun the net and closed it tight, the small fish entangled and fighting inside, finally. Holding the net with both hands, I shot upwards to the surface, where I spat out a lake of water with its grit and fishy taste and pulled clean into the air my lungs. I squinted upwards to read the sun. I'd fallen towards the west, but it was still hot enough to suck the water off my face. I swam closer to the shoreline and reached down to the bottom of the lake until my toes dug into the mud. The net grew heavy as I walked out of the water. My pet goat greeted me with a wriggle of his tail. He headbutted me hard enough to almost tip me back into the lake. "Careful, Tau," I scolded. He'd kept himself busy while I'd been fishing. Green moss poked out the corner of his beard. He must have climbed the boulders that lined the lake to get to the plants that grew in the crevices. There was so little else to eat since the drought had taken over our evergreen once country, leaving it cracked and parched. I searched for the sky for clouds. Even a whisper of haze could be enough to mean the rains were here at last. But there was nothing beyond the great empty blue. The clouds had lost their way. I said to Tau, "Maybe tomorrow the rains will find us." Nearby, a spadefoot croaked from its burrow hole. The toads like the cool of the evening. I heard the impatience in its voice. My cotton tunic was hanging on a needle thorn tree, and I had pulled it on without waiting for my skin to dry. My curly hair dripped water, so I shook my head until I felt dizzy. The spadefoot croaked again, louder this time. Then more toads joined in, until the rattle of their song almost shook the earth from under my feet. It would soon be the switching hour, where day traded places with night. A panic flutter woke up in my stomach. "Let's go home, Tau," I called out with the fierceness that I knew he understood. We were running out of time. The fish bucket bumped against my legs as I ran through the long yellow grass. It grew as high as my shoulder, and I stomped my feet to scare away the orange-bellied snakes that liked to hide there. I raced Tau along the path, skittered stones beneath my feet, until we got to the pastures where two older goats grazed. Zola, the colour of milk, Ella, the colour of honey. I whistled with two fingers in my mouth, shrill as the shriek of an egret. The goats trotted over, kicking up dust. The grazing grass had all but gone. Tau danced around them, just out of range of Zola's huge curved horns. "We have to hurry," I said. I threaded twine through the air, through their collars, and pulled them into a walk. "Through the gate, Zola," I coaxed, leading them on. "Faster," I willed them, but goats are stubborn creatures and will only go as quickly as they want. I tugged on the twine and tried to get them both onto a trot. The switching hour had begun. The sun was setting behind the forest when I caught sight of the smoke curling upwards from behind a thicket of needle-thorn trees, their branches black against the sky. It was almost dark now, and I could already see the first pinpricks of stars. The risking tide of night had washed away the day. Granny Uma was waiting for me by the cottage door. "You're late, Amaya," she said, her voice scratched with worry. She grabbed the harness rope out of my hand and pushed me towards the open door and safety.